Hate mail and racist remarks have long been a reality for people in public life, especially for African Americans. But instead of quietly commiserating with colleagues, a few Charlotte officials are calling out those messages in public meetings. Some listeners celebrate that move as a pushback against bigotry. But one constituent who was called out at a school board meeting says it feels more like public bullying. WFAE's Ann Doss Helms has more.
Mecklenburg County residents have been hearing their public officials speak up at public meetings about racist communications recently. In one case, the prompt was an unsigned letter full of stereotypes, insults, and violent language. Here's County Commissioner Bill Malik at an August 7th meeting.
You people do not even know how to use eating utensils, not less sit at a table and eat appropriately. Yet you will blame everything on your slavery.
In another case, emails to CMS Board Chair Mary McRae questioned the qualifications of a new African-American school superintendent.
This email is from a young lady named Jamie Lawrence. She said, "Your obvious racism over the last 7 years has come to a head with the hiring of Ernest Winston, a person with no superintendent experience."
McRae said at last week's meeting that the questions were really about Winston being a black man, not about his credentials. The messages Leak and McRae read at meetings are different in many ways. The letter sent to Leak and many other black officials talks about sending black Democrats to concentration camps and hoping to see them blown up. Language threatening enough that Leak has asked the FBI to investigate. McRae's emails had names attached. One used a racial slur in reference to school board members and implied that Winston was hired because he's black. The other, from Lawrence, was a strongly worded critique of McRae's performance in office, which called Winston's recent hiring a foolish mistake and accused McRae of racism. But they all fit into a national context of emboldened bigotry and public pushback, according to Terza Lima Neves. She's president of the North Carolina Political Science Association and a professor at Johnson C. Smith University.
There are going to be some public officials that feel that they need to be on the right side of history. So they do need to speak up. They might feel that they have a moral obligation to speak up. When all of this blows over, if it ever does, where do I want to be? Where do I want my voice to land?
She says that context includes presidential tweets, responses from national figures, and Charlotte officials refusing to keep silent. Calling out correspondents by name is unusual for McRae, who has chaired the school board for 7 years. In fact, if either emailer had showed up to read those remarks during the school board meeting, she probably wouldn't have allowed them.
You may speak on any topic of your choice except for either individual student matters or specific personnel matters. No personal attacks would be allowed. Neither profanity or inappropriate language may be used.
That's McRae's standard warning to speakers from the public. In this case, issued about 20 minutes before she read the emails and challenged the writers to ask themselves whether they might be racists. WFAE got copies of the two emails through a public records request and tried to reach both senders. The writer who used a racial slur didn't respond. Jamie Lawrence did. Lawrence, a self-described lifelong Charlottean, declined to do a recorded interview. But Lawrence said in a series of emails with WFAE that McRae's decision to read the email and to link it with a more inflammatory message from someone else constitutes, quote, "public bullying and name-calling that politicians do today in order to shut down debate and deflect legitimate criticism." Lawrence condemned the language used by the other writer. "While there is no place for bigotry in our society," Lawrence wrote, "there should be a place for spirited debate." It's not clear from the public emails whether the names on the sender line are authentic. Lawrence confirmed the name by email, but wouldn't say whether McRae's young lady description was accurate. WFAE asked McRae several times to elaborate on her decision to go public with the messages, but she either texted that she was busy or didn't respond. But from the dais, McRae defended the board's unanimous vote to hire Winston as superintendent earlier this month, despite the fact that he has never been a principal or superintendent and has no advanced degrees in school administration.
He doesn't hold a doctorate degree, nor does that award-winning, celebrated superintendent of Miami-Dade, a district where children are being prepared for college and careers, and a district far larger than CMS.
Winston is the second African-American superintendent of CMS. Leak, the county commissioner, served 11 years on the school board, and she was there in 2002 when CMS hired the first one, Jim Pusley. Like Winston, Pusley was hired without a search, and Leak says that decision sparked the same type of racial criticism.
"We don't need that black man. We don't need him. He can't feel the bill for us. this community will not accept him.
McRae's decision to read emails and call names won kudos from Leek, who's been in public life for decades, and from Kendall Sanders, the school board's non-voting student member and a senior at Northwest School of the Arts.
At first, I was a little shocked that she actually did say the names of the people, but I didn't disagree with her. I do believe that people who make comments like that should be put on blast.
The letter about sending Black Democrats to concentration camps also went to Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles.
We may have minority voices and people speaking out in racist and xenophobic and misogynistic ways.
But in a WFAE Charlotte Talks interview, Lyles says she prefers not to highlight such words, instead focusing on what Charlotteans are doing to promote harmony and equity. For WFAE News, I'm Ann Doss Helms in Charlotte.